What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 30th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I'm so excited for tomorrow because it's going to be May. And we have Bryce Wilson as the lead today. Not Bryce Miller. I know. But I just wanted to let you guys know, because if you have Bryce Miller, you already have Bryce Miller. And it's not really a waiver wire guy. But Bryce Wilson with six innings, one earned run, six base runners, and six Ks. And you think, maybe this is actually something. It isn't. Okay, he's not going to have a 48% CSW on his sinker. He's not going to return 9 whiffs on cutters plus sinkers. And he doesn't have any pitch that has eclipsed the 10% swing strike rate threshold this year. No, I'm not in on Bryce Wilson. I don't think you should either. But the duel between Max Fried and Bryce Miller, oh my gosh, that was cool. 7 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 10 strikeouts for Bryce Miller. This was flirtation with perfection. This was flirtation with a no-hitter. And what's interesting to me is I know I bang the drum on certain things, and I think it's one of the hardest parts of what I do is when a guy is having success and he's doing it in ways that are abnormal, I need to say, look, like this in most cases is not sustainable, right? And to see Bryce Miller go 15 for 59 whiffs on his four-seamer and then just really not do a whole lot with the others, I mean, yes, he did throw outs with some sweepers and curves and sinkers, but they were over the plate, and it just feels weird. Maybe it's okay, and like, you keep starting Bryce Miller, and you do you, but remember, all the other starts before this weren't so great. So, yeah, it's weird. But hey, I'm really happy that this one was great, and good for Bryce Miller. For Max Fried, it was 6 innings of no-hit ball. He got pulled because he threw 100 pitches, which understandably so. 2 walks and 7 Ks as well. 15 whiffs, 27% CSW, and 100 pitches, as I mentioned. His changeup, it's so funny. Like, here's a great start. And it's crazy. I feel like I'm always the pessimist. But really, I'm the person that is saying, look, like, there are things that these guys are still working on. And it's what I'm going to be monitoring. With Max Fried, I mean, his four-seamer precision was phenomenal. He got so many foul balls and strikes inside to right-handers. It was awesome. But he doesn't have his changeup. 6 over 13 strikes here. And that was the game changer for him the last two seasons. How good that changeup was for Max Fried, especially against right-handers. 6 over 13 strikes is not good on that changeup. And I think that should get better over time. So it's weird to be critical, I understand. But I'm also like, hey, I want him to be sustainable. I don't want you guys to feel like he's cooked or something like that. I mean, can't be, right? He just went like 9 innings and then now it's 6. He had 15 in 2 games. Come on. Max Fried is dope. It makes us feel dope. Okay. Ryan Pepiot against the Brewers. 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 7 strikeouts. Yep, you were good here. It's kind of funny. The four-seamer did its thing, but then the other pitches, like the slider and the change, were kind of weird, but who cares? Grace Rodriguez survived against the Yankees. That's awesome. 5.2 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. And it's just not, like, amazing. It's 8 whiffs, 24% CSW. Very pedestrian. I'm glad you got 0 runs and you got strikeouts when you needed it, or you executed pitches, got the win, all that fun stuff. Gives a Philly, not fun. He's just not commanding it. Like, he has the stuff. We know it's there. He has an elite extension. He has filthy sliders and changeups. He throws 97 plus on a fastball. But he can't spot things. And it drives me up the wall. That's all. Luis Severino against the Cubs. 8 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Yeah, another game where a team was... Sarah Lings put out a tweet being like, this is the first time in ages, I think, or a long time, that there are two different teams that were hitless through 7 innings and also won. So Severino went 8 innings, 1 run, and did not get a win here as he lost 3-1. Morel hit a 2-run shot later on. And it was a lot of like, just here's a fastball and sweeper and just like do something with this. You know? That's not exceptional. He's a Toby. Cool. Severino Toby. Awesome. Jameson Taillon. He's a Toby. 7.1 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? It's kind of cool to see him go from a start of throwing everything down the middle to spreading it out to the edges. He was saying that he wants to throw more high four seams. He needs to get a little bit higher, which I agree with. But to see the secondaries all going down in glove side or the sinkers inside properly, like that's how it's supposed to be. So that's cool for Tyone. I'm not saying that I'm running over everyone to get him, but he is getting better. He is recovering from his IL stint, and that's cool. Nick Lodolo, oh my gosh, earned a golden goal, 22 whiffs in 37% CSW, 7 innings of 1 earned run, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 11 strikeouts. I am clearly too low on Lodolo, right? Like, you gotta think that. I think it's a really good curveball. It is a four-seamer that really acts like a sinker. It has elite horizontal movement for a four-seamer, and also it has elite drop. Not instead of rise, it drops pretty much more than, I don't know, like 90% of four-seamers. So when you think of it that way, is a sinker curve guy, but it's instead of the sinker sweeper from the right side, it's sinker sweeper from the left side almost. And that, I get weirded out by, because if the curveball is actually working against right-handers, is the fastball going to continue to work against right-handers? It's going to make him focus more on the changeup. And he even had 4 whiffs on that changeup in this one, so that's cool. This was a great game of just four-seamers upstairs, changeups down a lot. Curveballs were doing great things down. I hope it sticks. I just have known him to be going back and forth throughout his career, and especially with Sin City involved. Not fun. This was in San Diego. I really hope this sticks, and obviously you just have to chase it at this point, if you haven't already. Clark Schmidt against the Orioles, 5.2 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Clark Schmidt's doing better with that cutter inside the lefties. I really can't express enough how that is everything with Schmidt. He's getting better at it. I really hope he continues to get better about it. He gets the Tigers next. I am in for that. Joe Boyle against the Pirates, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 4 walks, 4 Ks. Yeah, okay, it's Joe Boyle, guys. I mean, 47% strike rate on his 4-seamer. And guess what? 60% usage. So you had 4 walks and 91 pitches in 5 innings, and he survived, I guess. Like, don't go after Joe Boyle. Jake Irvin did well against the Marlins. This was the clear blame on the Marlins. His curve went 0 for 28 whiffs, 2 earned runs in 6 innings. I mean, okay. Joe Ryan went against the White Sox. Didn't do that well with 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. The 2 earned runs were a questionable walk and then a Carlos Santana home run. That's it. But 3 Ks and 9 whiffs against the Cry Sox is pretty annoying. I'm sorry, that was Garrett Crochet. I got the completely mixed up. 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks for Crochet, who allowed that questionable walk and then a 2-run shot to Carlos Santana. My apologies. I'll talk about Crochet in a second. Joe Ryan got into a little bit of earlier trouble. I remember this now. He had just 9% CSW on his 4-seamer. That is very weird. I'm totally weirded out by that. I guess the White Sox were kind of going after it. I don't know. That shouldn't happen for Joe Ryan, but like everything else was good, so who cares? We move on for Joe Ryan. But with Garrett Crochet, what's actually very interesting is if you look at the last 3 starts, it was a weird game where a terrible, stupid inning. You had a bad, legitimately bad start against a good offense. And then you had this start last week against the Twins where I said, hey, look, what are you doing? Why aren't you throwing more sliders? And Smolski was like, look, Nick, they were right-handers and Crochet just isn't comfortable throwing his slider to right-handers. To which I say, why? You should. Anyway, Crochet is like, no, I still don't want to do that. And I say, well, this is going to be bad. And he goes, no, hold on. I have a changeup now. And I said, you do? He goes, yeah, I'm going to throw 18 of them for 33% CSW. Oh, well, all right then, Crochet. Yeah, that's why you did well. That's really cool to see. And as a 4-pitch mix, because the cutter was working too in this and throwing 98. Yeah. You should be in on that for Garrett Crochet. Look, when I was down on Garrett Crochet in the preseason, it was because I saw a 4-seamer that was very steep and a slider that was inconsistent. And that was it. But what I've seen now is his 4-seamer performing regardless of how steep it is, because he has elite extension that I didn't know that he was going to have necessarily, and that velocity sticking and not falling down to 95. While also, the slider being generally good, and then a 3rd pitch in a cutter, and now a 4th pitch in a changeup. This is way better than I expected from Crochet. So I'm excited for this, and you should too. We're going to go over everybody else from yesterday's games, and of course, all the starting pitchers for tomorrow's after this break. Tommy Henry against the Dodgers, 4 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? The Dodgers didn't strike out once this game. And Tommy Henry, otherwise known as Double Train, and that is the stupidest nickname I've come up with, I know. Just read the previous roundup on Tommy Henry if you are confused. 1 for 72 whiffs is crazy. He might not be in the rotation anymore because Ryan Nelson took a comebacker and he should be back this week. And that would mean that Slane Cizzone, is going to get the number 5 instead of Tommy Henry because he pitched really well. I mean, regardless, I don't want to go after Cizzone. I don't want to go after Tommy Henry and move on. Speaking of getting displaced, you might see that from Yariel Rodriguez because Alec Manoah's coming back and more of the Jays doing well. I mean, 82 pitches for just 11 outs as 3.2 innings. Yeah, no, thank you, Yariel Rodriguez. Like, I don't want to go for this. Trevor Rogers was a disappointment as my streaming pick of the day. Against the Nationals, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks in, 3 strikeouts, and it's, oh, so annoying. I looked at the strike zone plot of a slider, and I saw 5 out of 17 strike rate. I'm like, how? He threw so many perfect ones right at the bottom of the zone, all of them called for a ball. they weren't biting on it. It's incredibly annoying, but he's doing the Blake Snell blueprint, and he's going after the Athletics next. I think this, I'm really excited for Trevor Rogers still. I know it sounds crazy, but I think he's going to destroy the Athletics, so I'm in. I know. I just think the skills are there for Trevor Rogers. Matt Waldron, we do not trust a knuckleballer. His 4 runs in 6 innings, and yep, there you go. James Paxton against the Diamondbacks caught your win that you wanted so badly. 96 pitches to go 5 innings, but at what cost? It was a near 2 whip, 4 strikeouts, and 4 runs. Don't do this. 14 for 29 strikes in the curveball is terrible. That's a sub 50% rate. 93 on the heater, not 95, 96. Like, don't do this. Griffin Canning against the Phillies, 5 innings, 4 runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, 1 strikeout. 18 for 47 strikes combined on his curveball and 4 seamer. What? That is so low. That's like 35%. Oh my gosh. It's 40% or so. I'm doing quick math in my head right now. But so that is just, no. Yeah, that is terrible. And so much dry bread today because so many, how am I supposed to butter my breads with this? Because you also have Christopher Sanchez going 1 strikeout in 5 innings, 4 in runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, just 1 whiff on 75 pitches. 3 for 15 changeup strikes. Like, I keep focusing on this, but for whatever reason, everybody just could not throw strikes, save for James and Tyone. And Luis Severino. Wild. This is Sanchez's best pitch. 3 for 15 is a 20%. No. That isn't it. So, oh boy. That's not going to be what he is. That's the way I see it. There are guys that have bad nights. These are humans. And don't read into it too much. Like, you keep going with Christopher Sanchez, obviously. Jonathan Bullen showed up for the Royals. And I got to say, he has a 95, 96 mile per hour heater with a ton of IVB. Like, he went 20% swing strike rate again. I don't think his secondary stuff is that good. That's why it was 2.2 innings of 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks for Jonathan Bolin. But this was also essentially an MLB debut. It wasn't. It was a season debut. But this obviously had a lot of emotion tied to it. So, I don't know. I would just keep an eye on Bolin and see if that works out. Maybe he can be a earthbender next time. Bolin should be better. Okay. I'm so sorry for that one. And last but not least, Bailey Falter against the Athletics. 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. I was really hoping that Falter could pull this off against the Athletics. He had a 56% CSW on his curveball, but he just threw too many pitches in the middle that Oakland was able to hit. I mean, it's just how it works. It was 6 hits and 5 earned runs. That's very efficient for Oakland, and some days, that's just how the cookie crumbles. 32% CSW roll and just 65 pitches in 5 innings, which is just like, man, they just went up hacking and they did it. So it goes. Looking at tomorrow's games, you have Zach Wheeler, Corbin Burns, Shota Imanaga, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Ace is going to ace for all of those, of course. Bailey Ober against the White Sox, Chris Sale against the Mariners, Zach Eflin against the Brewers again, obviously, and Zach Gallen against the Dodgers. Yes, that is an auto start there. He is a AGA. Probable start tier is Cutter Crawford and Justin Verlander. And this is interesting. It's Joe Musgrove, Chris Bassett, and Seth Lugo. I have Musgrove above, even though he hasn't been good at all. It's a better matchup of the other two. The best matchup, I should say, as he hosts the Reds. I think it's a good win chance. I think it's Musgrove has just been pitching well and the results haven't been there and he'll fix this, whatever. I'm not really worried about it. It's not really a skills degradation. Chris Bassett, same kind of thing, really, against the Royals. I think it's just small sample size. And then you have Seth Lugo, who just came off of an amazing outing. I believe it was 11 strikeouts, which is so good. But I don't really think that Seth Lugo is that guy against Toronto. And I'm just going to say the history of Musgrove and Bassett are just better than Lugo. We have questionable start tier, Andrew Heaney as my streaming pick. You have against the Nationals, Braxton Garrett, rocky road, but it is a still ill, unfortunately. Jose Budo against the Cubs, Luis Gil against the Orioles if you want strikeouts. I hope that he's his best self. Colin Ray is a weird one to see, but it's the Rays, and the Rays are terrible. So that actually might work out well. Kenta Maeda against the Cardinals, he is a cherry bomb there. And in the do not start tier, you might want to go with Miles Michaelis, but it's the Tigers who actually have been doing okay, and Miles Michaelis just doesn't do much with his arsenal. But that is a quality start play if you need that. Graham Ashcraft against the Padres. Maybe this is the day that he can go too straight with good cutter command, but we so rarely see that. We see moments when he does well every so often, but it usually falls back down to earth, which I'm expecting here against the Padres for Graham Ashcraft. Quinn Priester against Oakland. It is Oakland. Priester did have good slider command last time. Is that going to stick? Probably not. I don't want to do it. Tristan McKenzie is pitching with a torn ligament in his elbow, and it's Houston. Patrick Sandoval against the Phillies. Dakota Hudson against the Marlins. Maybe there's enough grounders there to make that work against a poor offense. Ross Stripling against the Pirates. Whatever. Chris Flexen did great last time. He was flexing at the beach, and now it's the Twins. Maybe. Dalton Jeffries, I think, is better than what we've seen thus far, but it's also Fenway. Why chase that? You got to see it first. Emerson Hancock against Atlanta. There is a chance here that he gets enough grounders, kind of as like sinker slider, changeup game, even though it's a four-seamer now. It's weird. Maybe there's something there. And of course, we have Trevor Williams at Texas. Never Trevor. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for listening to the podcast. And of course, leaving a rating or review on iTunes. It goes so far for us. That is also, my name is Nick Pollock. May your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.